WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling. In the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Fox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over. I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
Bill Nye the Science Guy. The Science Guy.
Welcome to WTR Sunday night, I think. Some show on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I don't recall Bill Nye being in it. Who's the DJ tonight?
Not me. Not me.
Fine, Mr. Producer. Stay silent. You've got answering to do later on. As always, this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all, the WTR Network. And tonight we have for you the rundown of the week in wrestling news, all the latest gossip and rumors from the WWE, TNA, and independent scene. But who cares? We've got Edge! But that's coming up later, so you gotta wait. Uh-huh. And joining me tonight, yeah, Mace.
Greetings. I'm not Edge, so I don't matter.
What are you wasting my time for?
I know.
Jeez. Seriously, go cut your hair and retire.
I already cut my hair.
Well, you're halfway there. And it's a threesome tonight. Oh, God, why did I just say that? Because the only one else here is the one and only Mr. Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Yeah, I'm not Edge either, Omega.
But you're Canadian.
Hey, I got good news, though.
Do you?
I do have good news. Yeah, I saved money by switching to Geico.
Oh, God.
He hung up. He really hung up on the Geico thing?
I have no idea.
Everything we've ever said to him, and it was the Geico joke that makes him hang up.
Why? Why?
Well, yeah, you know, I also save money by buying stuff on tweakedaudio.com. It's a brand new sponsor, boys and girls, for the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, Omega, Mace, you guys, you've got like iPods or MP3 players or something like that that you listen to music through, don't you?
Got all kinds of little noise machines around here, so yes.
Yeah, well, you know what you need to do is head on over to tweakedaudio.com, check out their absolutely awesome earbuds.
Ooh.
They are absolutely magnifying the sound and reducing noise at the same time. Which,
isn't sound also considered noise?
Well, I was about to say, if you were talking to my dad, the sound that my generation and younger listen to is the same thing as noise. I disagree with him, but what can I say? You guys accuse me of being old. He's a fucking dinosaur.
Wow. Coming from you, that's saying something.
That says a hell of a lot, doesn't it? I'll tell you.
Anyway, let's stop this pandering and bullshitting, and let's get through the news, because we want to get to the part that everybody wants to listen to.
Mace rants tonight live on WTR? Is that what you're talking about? No?
No, Omega I got no rants this week.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll do my best to change that tonight. Omega's rants. Wait a minute. Omega never rants.
No, I'm not ranting.
He's the most Canadian-American I've ever met.
I'm going to hang up again.
No, don't bother. That's actually a compliment, dumbass.
That depends on your perspective.
There you go. Well, yeah, we might as well just dive right into it and get this first segment over and done with. Let's talk about what happened at the end of Raw last week. We'll kick it off with Mick Foley getting punked. Guys, what did you think about that whole thing between Punk and Foley?
It was interesting. So to see a contrast in the two people, but some sort of mutual respect between them at one point, now thrown to the wayside because the mind of the evil CM Punk has decided that he doesn't need anybody, he doesn't need anybody's respect, but he still wants respect.
Yeah, well, he is
if
a Paul
that
Heyman
makes any
guy.
Sense. And there's nothing wrong with being a Paul Heyman guy.
Hey, you know, in a twisted sort of way, that does kind of make sense. What do you think, Omega?
maybe. I mean, it wasn't awesome promos. Some of the best work Foley's done in years.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely awesome. The bit at the end just—I don't know—just seemed petty to me. The random kick in the gut backstage just. And the fact that Foley was down for so long from one kick to the gut.
Yeah, I think that he just went over dramatic on the whole thing, personally.
I think his beard caught something on the way down.
My beard's caught in the grate and I can't stand up straight. So, I guess the big question is, do you think Foley would work as a replacement for Cena if Cena can't make Hell in the Cell?
No. Let's save the Paul Rotund bastard from getting his ass kicked and thrown about one last time, shall we?
So maybe 10 years ago, Foley would have been a good replacement. But
I
not
think
today.
More than that, I think more than that, it'd be a mistake to put Foley in a Hell in a Cell again.
Yeah.
You know, because presumably a WWE champion would be in a Hell in a Cell match at Hell in a Cell.
You would expect it.
You would expect it. I wouldn't put Foley in there because A, way past prime, and B, it would just bring too many comparisons to his dive with The Undertaker.
Right off the top of the cage.
Yeah, it overshadowed the match.
Yeah. Well, I gotta agree with you on that one. I don't think Foley's too old to work, but I don't think that he's, someone you should consider for a main event, a semi-main event, especially if it deals with the cage anymore. I could see him doing a mid-show filler match, but not on a pay-per-view.
No, you can still put him in the main event. Use him as a rock-style person, you know, you build it up. You just don't have him in a match like Hell in a Cell where he would be expected to take big bumps, which his body can no longer sustain.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point. What about a false count anywhere type match?
I mean, some kind of match where we could, I don't know, dump him through a flaming table?
Or maybe handcuff his hands behind his back and wail on his head with a steel chair?
Yes. One of those. Oh, no, you can't do that. That's against the rules now.
Oh,
no steel chairs to the head.
Yeah, no steel chairs, no choking with ties.
Yeah. No choking with ties.
There goes most of Foley's arsenal.
There you go, yeah. Of course, choking with ties being made famous or infamous by Daniel Bryan, who we're going to talk about a little bit later on tonight. What do you guys think about bringing in other legends to basically have the verbal battles and such with Punk leading up to Hell in a Cell?
Well, with the absence of Cena, it's definitely an interesting way of playing off of the respect angle, but I can't help but feel like we've done this song and dance before.
Well, of course we have. There's nothing new under the sun, really.
I know. Well, yeah, I know. I don't know. There's similar angles fresh in my head from Orton to Jericho.
Yeah.
Jericho especially, okay. Looking for respect from the, from the retired stars.
Okay, well, just for shits and giggles, which legends would you possibly bring in for these confrontations with Punk, guys?
Well, considering that you're heading into Hell in a Cell, you would try to make them Hell in a Cell related.
Mm-hmm.
So you take a look at some of the guys, probably like Triple H, who's been in numerous Hell in a Cells. You bring in Shawn Michaels, who was in the original Hell in a Cell. And you would make your very last one The Undertaker, the man who is most well known for his deeds in the Hell in a Cell.
See, I don't see that as a potential, if only because this, depending on how long CM Punk runs with this, give me respect type heel persona, if that leads anywhere, it eventually has to lead to The Undertaker. Because that's who you think of. Not just, the locker room general that he is, but, just that's always been, the biggest sign of respect you could get out of the WWE. If Taker was going to break character for you, I mean, we see that at, the farewells for HBK and Ric Flair, which I actually just watched on YouTube the other day.
Okay, well, you're mentioning Undertaker. What if you hold him off until after Hell in a Cell? Punk wins, just for the sake of argument, Hell in a Cell. Here we are booking for WrestleMania already. And it's still the respect angle, and Punk still feels like he's not getting the respect, and he's all doing Punk heel stuff. And then out comes Taker. You don't really need him to break any kind of fourth wall. To set up a match between Punk and Taker at Mania.
I don't mean to break a fourth wall or to break kayfabe to do it. I just mean, we as the fans know that Taker is the biggest amount of respect you can get because he is the last of the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
And that used to be his thing. This is my yard. He used to run the respect angle too.
Mm-hmm.
As for any idea of Punk versus Taker at WrestleMania, shut up and take my money.
That's exactly what I was going to, because they're thinking about doing Cena Rock 2, and it'd be for the championship this time. Okay, fine, whatever. They're thinking about Lesnar and Triple H Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would leave Undertaker needing a dance partner. And if someone is demanding respect from the veterans, I'd say that really only leaves one option.
Which would be Taker. And like Mace said, do I really have to repeat it?
No.
For that match, yeah. Shut up, take our money, we're waiting for it. That would be damn good.
If Tim signs paying full price, it's big.
Yeah, there you go. It's something to, even if I'm paying half price, right? Yes, I'm a cheap bastard and I make Jewish people look like they're extravagant billionaires. One thing I want to take a look at, though, what happened Monday night, and this might actually turn into something, it might not, you never know. But after Punk punked Foley, he decides after a bit of dramatic humming and hawing that he's not done. He turns around and he's about to, beat him down a little more. We'll never find out because Punk was stopped in his tracks and actually wound up with a look of almost, what would you call it, fear in his eyes? There's Goldberg, Ryback, standing there just staring him down. Goldback, Ryberg, which one works?
I think Ryberg is the most well accepted, but
I'm kind of partial to Gold Van Dam.
Gold Van Dam. That's only because he uses the same guy as Van Damme.
Yeah, it's the exact same singlet artist.
Yeah, but with Van Damme's permission. But, yeah, Mace was, I think, was in the middle of making some kind of a point about this.
Yeah, I unfortunately didn't catch this part of the segment, but from what I read afterwards, this would be what is considered mostly in the entertainment business as a red herring.
Mm-hmm. We've seen plenty of those, but would a match between Ryback and Punk draw money, as we say in the business?
No! This would be an absolute travesty because Punk would show how green Ryback still is.
Mm-hmm. Well, if Punk carried him, would this not help to
even carrying him, Ryback would still look green as shit.
Well, Goldberg still looked green as shit when he was carrying the title belt, but he was still over big time. You can't
that's
do the same thing?
That's because he was still doing the same thing that he did then. He was... Well, he wasn't wrestling, you know, 10, 15 minute matches. He was wrestling 3 minutes, you know, job fests, even when he was world champion.
Okay.
And Punk, if you're going to put Punk in a match, you're going to need to give him at least a minimum of 10 minutes into his match, which I can tell you now, Ryberg can't do. Hell, he can barely do his 3 minute squash fests.
Especially
the reason why the guy pops up on Botchamania quite often.
There you go. Yeah, this time it's not somebody else's fault.
No.
Sin Cara or... So, but hasn't he got... don't they have a program going on right now between Ryback and Jinder Mahal?
I think that ended. I don't know. I wasn't really paying attention to it.
I'm not sure if that ended or not. I think maybe it was put on hold until Ryback's head healed. Did you guys see that noggin knocking that he got at the house show?
I'm sorry. I saw him with a face full of blood at one point.
Yeah. Well, the back of his head, I noticed it last week, and it was just very briefly. It looked like somebody put a potato bug inside the skin on the back of his skull. And he got cut open the hard way at a house show. And they actually stopped the match because of it.
Wait, WWE stopping the match because of blood?
Well, it was...
Wow, it's not like we haven't seen this quite often.
Well, they didn't stop
even on house shows, they stopped for blood.
Yeah, well, it wasn't... They didn't stop it for blood so much as, like, the match, like, over and done with. Because he was so sliced open. I mean, it wasn't a temporary hold while they popped up.
There is a point where you have to go, oh shit, something's gone wrong, we have to put this away quickly.
Yeah, so, and I admit it, I was looking for it because I read about it on one of those sites. I can't remember. It could have been PW Mania, located at pwmania.com, where we are broadcasting live simultaneously, by the way. Hi to the guys at PW Mania. There's your plug number one for the night. But I was reading that this happened, and so Monday night, I'm looking for it. And I'm figuring, okay, he got slashed open on the eyebrow, or and let's face it, he's got a big brow to slash open. If something's going to get slashed open, you figure that's going to be that thing. I mean, look at guys like Scott. You know, they're Jewish or half Jewish. Their nose arrives like 30 seconds before they do. Well, in Ryberg's case, it's his brow arrives 30 seconds before he does.
Oh, yeah, he's kind of a knuckle dragger that way.
Yeah, send anti-Semitic hate mail to admin@wildtalkradio.com. So, but yeah, the camera just like barely caught it, and it was just enough that you see it was one hell of a welt on it. But getting back to the topic I'm talking about, so you don't see them doing a non-title thing just as a filler that might actually help elevate Ryback, or they wind up it ends in a DQ or a no contest or something like that. The Miz interferes and takes out his frustrations on Ryback.
The hard part about that is when you're trying to make Ryback look dominant, you really can't have him in such a losing position. And when you're trying to keep CM Punk over as a champion. You can't have him going up against someone like Ryberg, who has to look dominant.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, okay, fine. He's playing the Bill Goldberg character, okay. But no, you cannot be that dominant against the world champion at that level.
Okay.
No.
And also, at this point in time, with the build-up, is obviously, at least it feels to me like they're leaning towards Punk versus Rock for the title, with Rock taking the title. They can't really make your champion, whoever the hell he is, look that weak, can they? Leading into something like that?
No. No. It doesn't happen.
So, as Mace said, and I stretched it out to a 10-minute discussion and debate, it's basically a red herring, the two of them, that we saw.
Yeah, it just seemed like one thing that they did, because they didn't even show it to the crowd there. Mm-hmm. It felt like a testing the waters thing.
They didn't show it to the crowd?
No. I mean, if you look at that segment, you realize that, you had no crowd audio in that entire time from, you mean no reaction even to getting fully getting kicked in the gut, and no reaction to Ryback suddenly appearing.
That was
blacked out from the live audience.
Okay, so, well, yeah, that's kind of a surprise to me.
Really,
but okay. Once again, everybody, later on tonight, coming up in just a little bit, we have an interview with the Rated R superstar Edge. Make sure you stick around for that. If you know anybody who might be interested in hearing this interview and they're not listening yet, tweet them, instant message them, text them, Facebook them, whatever the hell you got to do. Get them to tune in right here at www.wildtalkradio.com. And before we go to our first time out of the night, why don't we talk about the new WWE show on Wednesday? What are they calling that? Main events? WWE main events?
Something like that.
Yeah, their new program on Wednesday night will feature CM Punk taking on Sheamus. You got the WWE champion taking on the world heavyweight champion. That's the first main event announced. Now, they're giving the show or this match away for free, as opposed to putting it on a pay-per-view. Smart? Stupid? Discuss.
It's been done before.
Mm-hmm.
It's been done on Raw. It's been done on SmackDown. At this point, does it really matter if they give it away on free TV or not?
What do you say, Omega?
Well, if your whole intention of this is to draw people to the new show to give it a chance, there's really not a whole lot you could do better for that than CM, champion versus champion.
Well, this is a case. Oh, sorry, continue.
It's just kind of an obvious marketing thing. Okay, we got this new show over here, over on ION. We really want you to go tune in, give it a chance to see what you think, hopefully get some of that main audience for the WWE over to the channel, because that's what ION's hoping for in the first place.
Uh-huh.
It's marketing, it's promotion, it's the way the business runs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's nothing really wrong with giving it away on free TV if it's trying to lead toward bigger, better business propositions.
Okay, well, how many people do you figure won't be able to see this match because of the, it's on a, this new network and everything, this new channel?
Oh, it's a risky run all the time. They did it a few times when they had to move Raw over to TNT and Spike. It's when what they had to do with SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Comes with the business. ION's the one that wanted the show, so ION gets the show.
There you go.
If there's a failure in viewership or marketing, that's on them at that point.
Okay. So they've got this all set up. WWE says, we want to do this. We're going to give you a pay-per-view quality match on this to hopefully draw viewers, and maybe it's going to work. What do you guys think? Is this Wednesday night show got any potential?
I won't be able to see it, so I don't give a fuck.
Catch it in reruns or online or something down the road. This is what happens when you're not in North America. You don't get to see things normally first run.
And you know what? With these little shows, I don't give a fuck.
So you don't watch Superstars or any of the NXT or any of that stuff?
I can watch NXT if I want to. I just choose not to.
Okay.
I can't watch, the Saturday morning slam or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And thank God for that, because that, I downloaded one episode of that show and it sucked.
Well, isn't that aimed, to the 12-year-olds?
I showed it to my 8-year-old little brother. Even he didn't like it. He wanted me to put on Turtles.
Okay. And you were probably, let's watch Turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I thought so. See,
Turtles is a better show.
Yeah, I gotta take that with a bit, it's TMNT you're talking about, Mace. I gotta take it with a bit of a grain of salt when you say it. Cause I know better. But I get your point.
No, you don't. No. Here's the thing, you're saying you know better would make you trying to say that you know better than Omega. And when it comes to things like, you know, Turtles, Transformers, Omega, you don't
paid cartoon expert over here.
That's not what I was saying. I said I know better than to think that you would pick that show over. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and your name is Mace. What are you gonna do? Watch it. This is the point I'm making.
Of course I have to watch it. I have to make sure that my childhood is preserved in some sort of weird, obscure manner.
This is what I was alluding to. Thanks for totally blowing it up.
You know, all that said, I've seen the Saturday Morning Slam show. Oh my God, is it abysmal.
Hey, how come Real Cane Kittens has that funny looking percentage sign, in front of his name in the Wild Talk chat room, which you can find at www.wildtalkradio.com? Did you like how I did that?
I didn't like you interrupting me to do it.
Well, I apologize. Go ahead. Continue.
Sheesh. Yeah, okay. I've seen the show. Honest opinion. You're going to see some comedic matches you'd never see on WWE TV. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Kofi and R-Truth and, I saw their match on there with, Primo and Epico. They were dancing in the middle of the match. And they did a sketch in the middle of the match.
No.
And
they did the same thing during the house show out here.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Honestly.
Hey, it was hilarious live.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny, so, it's good for kids. You don't see it on WWE TV. You know, if you can tune in just to see the match, fine. But everything after that is, you know, a monster truck announcer telling you about crap you never wanted to hear about these people. While they play stock footage, they saved up for the DVD release of these people, should they ever become big and famous.
Daniel Bryan gets pushed around like a ball by Tyson Kidd. Really, Rock? Really?
Guess so. Mind you, the first ever episode
Oh. Does this make Daniel Bryan a mad ball? He's the only one who appreciates that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bad. Very bad.
But, yeah, the Saturday Morning Slam, the first episode, opens with Brodus Clay trying to teach you how to dance, like, do his little Funkasaurus dance thing that he does, with Cameron and Naomi both looking like strippers on either side of him. Because, you know, for kids!
Because, let's face it, there's nothing I like better than to take my 12-year-old to the Peelers so we can watch that pole dancing.
I will say there's one episode of Saturday Morning Slam I'm looking forward to, and it's because, it's Santino Marella wrestling El Local, which is Ricardo Rodriguez.
Yes. That I actually want to see.
And I have to see that.
Okay, that might have some legs to it. But hey guys, let's say we take our first time out of the night and then come back with, the Rated R Superstar.
If we have to, sure.
Oh, God, I can't believe you just said that. Everybody, you're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For you first-timers, thanks for joining us. Stick around. We're going to have a lot more fun up right after this timeout. The Rated R Superstar makes his debut on the Wild Talk Radio Network right here, WTR, Sunday night. We'll be back right after this. We'll be right back.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fia Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, vegetable no fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you, egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean the fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means the chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is...
Yeah. Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful. Especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
See, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
That really moved. I said, chill.
You think you know me?
And welcome back, everyone, to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And joining us on the air right now, We think we know him as Adam Copeland, but you may know him as Edge. How are you tonight?
I am doing splendid. Thank you very much for asking.
Well, thank you very much for being here.
Yeah, it's, like I said, kind of whirlwind day, but finally got where I could sit down and talk to you guys, so fire away.
Well, I think first off, since we just saw you on Friday night on SmackDown, and you were nice enough to shill this show called Haven, which I had not seen before.
Cool. So,
yeah, I stuck around. I really like the show. I mean, this is a guy who doesn't do sci-fi very often. I mean, I'm very impressed with what I saw.
Good. If it's kind of cool if, you know, for me appearing on SmackDown, it can kind of turn people's eyes toward that show, too. That's mission accomplished.
Yeah, very enjoyable, though seeing you lift a coffin out of an open grave is a little odd, I will admit.
Yeah, I've had a few run-ins with, like, burying people on that show. That's the first instance this year, and then there's one more, one of the further episodes. It's one of those things, too, where they'll build props and just figure, well, he's lifting it, so it doesn't matter if it weighs 200 pounds. It's like the 10th take. Yeah, it does. But it's been a good experience. It was a lot of fun. Get to live out in Nova Scotia for the summer and shoot out there, which is nice because I hadn't lived out there since about 94. It's something new. It's a new challenge. When I was forced with retirement and kind of having to come to terms with that, this fell in my lap, and it ended up just kind of being, I guess, the next step of what I might do. I'm still not entirely positive, but it's been a lot of fun so far, and it still kind of taps into those creative juices that I realize now that I'm always going to have to, get out one way or the other, whether it's, writing or reading or, painting or just, name it, something like that.
Right. You've always got that creative itch that you have to scratch.
Yeah, I really do. Some people are wired where they can, crunch numbers or they can sit in an office. I can't do that. I have to get it out some other way. I can stand in a gallery all day and look at things, but, or just hike a mountain or something, but I can't sit in an enclosed space for too long.
Totally understand that. Now, one other acting thing that came to mind is the first time I ever saw you outside of a WWE ring, which was on The Mind of Mencia.
Okay. And,
yeah. Please tell me, since this is one of the more surreal things I've ever seen, what is it like commentating a match between Jesus and Moses?
It was surreal, actually. That's the best way to put it. I showed up that day having a bit of an idea of what we were doing, and it sounded absolutely ridiculous. So I thought, okay, well, I'm in. It was interesting. It was definitely interesting. But I mean, how surreal is it to just jump around the tights for a living as it is? So I'm kind of used to doing some pretty odd things to begin with. So it wasn't that far a stretch. I mean, I've jumped headfirst into flaming tables. Like, when you put it into those terms, it's like, yeah, okay, I'll commentate a match between Jesus and Moses. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, fair point.
Now, one of your first acting gigs that I saw, unfortunately I don't get to see Mind of Mencia down here in Australia, I actually got to see you in a Highlander movie. I'm just wondering if you can clear up a rumor that spread around during that time. The rumor had it that you actually wore your wrestling boots during your scene in that movie. Was that correct, or is somebody just...
No, that is not correct. I was in Romania and knew that I had 10 days over there to shoot that and didn't have any wrestling gear on me whatsoever. So that is if it was Wikipedia or the internet, how they're always right. I didn't wear my wrestling boots. I did have to wear some disgusting, like, makeup enamel on my teeth to make them dirty and green. But that was kind of my first foray, my first, dip of the toe into the acting thing. You can call WWE has facets of that, but that was kind of my first experience with the you know, hurry up and wait aspect of acting, and the you know, multiple angles and changing of lighting and all of those things. So the Highlander was it, but I wasn't wearing wrestling boots though.
I'm just kind of curious. You've obviously taken multiple forays into acting and movies and TV. Do you have any other projects on the burner, or is Haven kind of it for right now? And is there anything you want to do?
The acting thing was honestly never my intent at all. Like, I never saw myself ever doing anything. You know, wrestling was kind of it for me. And then just through the years, WWE would say, hey, what about this? I was like, okay, sure. Yeah, I'll do it. Sounds like fun. But I'm still going to come back to the wrestling. You know, it's not like I'm going to take off for a year and go make movies or anything like that. Even when I did shoot that WWE movie, I still maintained the wrestling schedule. So, it was never my goal or anything like that. But then when faced with retirement, it was like, okay, well, this is once again falling in my lap. I guess I'll give this a shot, give it a try going forward. Right now, Haven is the only thing on the docket. But I have to get neck surgery again in November. I've been putting that off, since I retired, just because something would come up. It'd be, okay, Hall of Fame. I don't want to sit on my butt for 4 months in a neck collar and then show up on stage and people go, whoa, retirement hasn't been good to him. and then from there it was, okay, well, Haven's starting to shoot again, and I need 4 months recovery from the surgery. So I just haven't had enough time yet to get the surgery done. So I was like, okay, season is wrapped. I'll do the promotional stuff, and a few appearances here and there. And then November 8th is the surgery. And I thought, I'm just going to concentrate on that, getting healthy, and then go from there.
Oh, by the way, you looked fantastic at the Hall of Fame. I loved your socks.
I actually wore those socks again today. I was running around today, and I was wearing those. So, yeah. Well, thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
Now, I'm just wondering, I've sort of seen bits and pieces of how promos are done in wrestling. I've also trained myself as well down here in Australia. But I'm just wondering, what's the transition been like going from doing your promos for the WWE to acting? Has there been much of a changeover, or was it just sort of like putting on a new pair of socks?
It is different. Obviously there's similarities. You're in front of a camera and you're playing a character, but that's kind of where it ends, because with WWE, everything, I had to make it so over the top and try and translate it to, a huge audience live. So if you're very subtle with your movements and your facials, it won't necessarily get the desired reaction. And that was one of the things that I had to learn going into, acting in front of this camera, was the fact that I really had to pull back my facial expressions and my mannerisms, because when my instinct was to go huge with the eyeballs and, all the things that I would do in wrestling made me look like a maniac in front of a TV camera. So that was kind of the first challenge that I realized that I was going to encounter. It was like, oh man, okay, crazy edge eyes are not going to work here. I got to dip more into Adam and kind of pull things back and be more restrained with things. That was kind of the big differences, and with WWE, it's theater. It's instant reaction. You know if it worked or not. With television and film, you're putting a lot of trust in the director and then the editors and everything to make sure that they get the best take. You can't see it, so you don't know. There's not an instant reaction, so you don't know. And, I go to the director and say, okay, did that suck? Because I have no idea. And, thankfully I've gotten to work with a lot of different directors and they've all worked different ways. We did a couple of episodes with Jason Priestley, for Haven, and he was like, man, if I don't say anything, just keep doing it. I was like, perfect. So got it.
Now, we've brought up your acting and more recent roles a lot lately, but you used to do this little wrestling thing for a little while too. Tell me, one of the favorite moments I've had so far, what was it like the night that Christian won his first world title, which is a belt that you really made your own during your run?
That was a really special night for me because, you know, it was coming up from my retirement. I found out I was going to be going up to Nova Scotia to start shooting Haven the night after, that pay-per-view. I think it was, Extreme Rules. It was in Tampa and it was a ladder match that I was originally scheduled for with Alberto. And, you know, I had found out everything that was going to be happening and, I'd actually had an offer to do a play with Hugh Jackman and I, had to say no because, you know, I wanted to be there for that moment. And it felt like the culmination pretty much of my career to be able to, you know, help pass the torch to him because, you know, number one, I felt, you know, if anybody deserved it, he did. And if anybody could in any way kind of, take the reins, you know, when they were taken away from me, I would want it to be him. And to see the culmination of his entire career, you know, finally get the props and the nod of the head and, the tip of the cap, then, you know, I had to be there for it. I just had to. And as special to me as winning my first world championship, you know, it was for me to be there to be able to see that.
Yeah, I just want to go back a little bit to WrestleMania X7, where you, Christian, the Dudley Boys, and the Hardys had probably one of the most phenomenal TLC matches that I've ever seen in all my years watching wrestling. You guys actually won that night for the tag team titles. What was it like to win the belts on the biggest show of them all?
You know, the year before at WrestleMania 16, which I think they called, like, WrestleMania 2000 or something. Everything was X7, X8, 2000 at that point. But WrestleMania 16, we actually won the tag team championships the first time. And so that one really, really sticks out for me. Because, you know, there had been talk about breaking us up as a team, and we thought we had so much to offer as a team, and it would have been a waste to not let us do our thing. You know, up until that point, we'd never really even talked on camera because no one thought we could. We knew what we could do. You know, we knew that we're just a couple of morons. You give us a mic and man, we're going to have some fun with it. So thankfully at WrestleMania 16, we got the chance to do that. You know, fast forward a year later to WrestleMania 17 and it was like, okay, there's some pretty big matches here. You know, we got Rock and Austin, you know, Undertaker and Triple H, you know, Shane and Vince. I mean, it was a pretty stacked card. And then, we were really proud of the fact that one of the main events of that show was, you know, the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian. So we always felt like a huge, you know, we knew we were doing something different and we had to come through and had to deliver. And we knew that we could do something that nobody else was doing. So I do remember that night though, we all, you know, we got to the back and we're like, man, crowd wasn't that great, huh? Like, I don't know, it just, I don't know, they weren't there like we thought. We did some ridiculous stuff. It's kind of like, huh, not realizing up until that point, we'd never worked a crowd of that size, or a dome for that matter. So the sound goes straight up. It doesn't come at you like it does in an arena. So that was an adjustment, you know, because we watched it back and we're like, oh, the crowd was going nuts. We just couldn't hear it. So that was pretty interesting.
The other thing I want to know, like, big Edge Christian fan, whose idea was the 5-second pose?
I wish I could tell you whose exact idea. I do know that Jay, Christian, myself, and Brian Gewirtz would all sit down. He's now the head writer of Raw, and we would all sit down and we would just bounce ridiculous things off the wall to see what would stick, and. Whether it was, you know, words, you know, the genesis of it started when I remember saying, I don't want to come through the crowd anymore. I think it's, you know, it's that whole goth mysterious thing. We aren't anymore. We should be cocky. We should not want the audience to touch us. So that was the genesis of that whole thing. And then it became, okay, well, we'll still give you fans something. We'll let you take our picture for 5 seconds. And that, that's kind of where that all was born. But the three of us would just kind of sit around and say, what about ridiculosity? That could work, huh? What about chump stain? You know, what about tool shed? Those are good words. Reeking of awesomeness. Yeah, there we go. And, you know, if it made us laugh, it stuck.
I'm just kind of curious, but did you have a favorite pose?
Ooh, Fat and Fatter Elvis was fun. We did that in Memphis. One of the really fun, Jug Band, we did that in Louisville, Kentucky. That was pretty fun, where we had the bubba teeth in our mouth and everything, and that was a good one.
Remember that?
You know, what was great about it is that every week we would, you know, I would come out with my trench coat zipped up with the opposing, you know, rival team's jersey under my jacket. You know, Christian would have the local team, yay, they cheer, yeah, all the time knowing it was coming. They were just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Lo and behold, you know, if it's in Detroit, Jay would have the Red Wings jersey on, and then I'd take mine off and have the Avalanche jersey. They knew it was coming, but yet they would still cheer us coming out. And then, you know, they were in on it with us. And so every week it was, I think they just looked forward to, okay, what are they going to do? How are they going to get on us this week? And that was always really fun. And a nice, fun challenge to go, okay, what can we do? You know, you can't top it every week, obviously. Some weeks we had some duds, but we did some pretty fun stuff and stuff that I've completely forgotten about until people bring it up to me. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Now, just to kind of follow that up, I guess fun stuff and reeking of awesomeness, I have to ask you about this past Friday night on SmackDown, because at least everybody here, we all are getting a kick out of the Kane and Daniel Bryan stuff, and we all just kind of have to know, what was it like interacting with Kane in that manner? Because you guys have had some hellacious feuds. So it's just...
Well, we have, and you know, outside of the ring, he's one of my closest friends. So, you know, the idea that I could, you know, hug him on national TV and he really has no choice in the matter really tickled my funny bone. I loved the idea that, you know, because I know inside he's going, oh my God, and I'm loving the fact that I pitched the idea. So I was like, okay, I'll do something. I want to hug those guys. So they're like, oh, okay, sure. And, you know, Daniel Bryan, I still call him Bryan, is one of my favorite guys too. So, you know, I figured if I can interact with these two, do something just fun, you know, I don't want to come back and, you know, do these serious angry promos. There's no payoff, you know, so if I can be involved in a fun moment and, something that, you know, kids can have fun with and people are going to get a kick out of, and, you know, I get a kick out of it too. I get all fired up and just kind of make stuff up while I'm out there. And that's always fun for me too, is to try and get them to break. You know, a lot of the things I said, they didn't know I was going to say. So, that's always kind of fun to see if I can get, the big fella there to smile. And then also too, I really enjoy Damian Sandow. I really like what he's doing. So I thought, cool, this is awesome. This can further something. But, you know, I can be there, you know, help further something along, you know, it helps Haven, everybody wins.
Now, going off of subjects a little bit here, I know you're an avid reader. I know you're,
yes,
you're something of a comic book fan. Has retirement, yes, let you keep up with your reading?
Well, as a matter of fact, right now, as we speak, I am reading and looking at Hacksaw, the Jim Duggan story, and really enjoying that. I'm flying through it. Just today, my local bookstore called Malaprops here in Nashville, I got Up Jumps the Devil by Michael Poore. I got a graphic novel, The Eternals, by Neil Gaiman. And I got Necromancing the Stone by Lish McBride. So that's what I'm about to dive into.
Please tell me no 50 Shades of Grey.
No. No. Okay. No, I don't. I didn't even know that was erotic vampire. I don't know why. I had that one book, and I can't remember the name of it. God. The guy that was on Oprah, and it was all a con.
Right.
What was the name of that book?
Oh, geez, I can't remember now.
Oh, 50
right?
Million,
well,
Pieces or something like that?
Yeah, and that's what I thought it was. I thought it was the same book. And I was like, man, that guy's still kicking around with that thing, huh? Different book altogether.
God, I caught my grandmother reading that on her Kindle. Ugh.
Ooh.
Yeah, I... Yeah, I can do vampires, but just not erotic vampires. You know, I even have a tough time with True Blood.
Now, I have to go at least a little further off topic. I actually used to live in Brevard. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But
okay, yes, I do. Home of Steve Martin.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm just kind of curious, because I know you like to ride your bike and everything. Do you ever get the chance to go down to Pisgah National Forest down there and hike through the woods and go to Looking Glass Falls in that area?
Yep, sure do. Actually, I was driving on the Blue Ridge today by Looking Glass, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
One of my, I had to get the Husky out for a run today, so we went to Devil's Courthouse.
Very nice.
Yeah, love that. Love this entire area. My cousin's down too, visiting, because we went to the Midtown Music Festival in Atlanta this weekend, and so he'd never seen Asheville, so I've been come around and showing him things while I'm running my errands.
Oh, it's got to be beautiful right now with the fall coming.
Yeah, it's just starting. You know, the tips are just starting to get red.
Nice.
Yeah, good time of year.
Now, we've already established that you're an avid reader. Is there any other hobbies? You know, you're a video game player, you play poker, anything like that?
What the last one? Do I play what?
Poker. You know, Texas Hold'em.
Oh, no. I don't play cricket.
I'm Australian, not English.
I don't play cricket. I don't play Texas Hold'em. I don't gamble at all. I have some stocks, but generally my money hurt too much to gamble away. And I, let's see, hobbies. I like to paint, like to read. I enjoy mountain biking, hiking, kayaking. Pretty much if it's outdoors, I enjoy it, you know, or just, hang out with my dogs. I have a strange fascination with interior decoration. I really, really enjoy decorating my house and other people's houses. And so I end up getting asked a lot now, like, hey, can you help me out? I'm like, yeah, sure, this will be great. And then I just end up finding myself in, you know, galleries picking up pieces of artwork for people and, you know, figuring that kind of stuff out. I don't know why. I guess it's just kind of that artistic side of me that that I've always kind of had, because I've been drawing since I was, you know, like 3 years old. So
it's better part of your career working with furniture in the ring, though. So might be a little
different type, but yeah, definitely.
So I have to know, as a artist myself, what kind of painting do you do?
Just acrylic. I haven't, you know, haven't done watercolor, oil, or anything like that yet. I really just kind of very bold, kind of comic book style art is what I really kind of gravitate to. So that's what I end up finding myself doing all the time too. I found a brand new gallery today. I was really excited and had some really interesting art, all local stuff too. Because I mean, this area is like filled with people that just have crazy ideas. So
yeah, you're in the right spot to be an artist.
Yeah. And I wouldn't call myself an artist. I just enjoy, I enjoy art.
One more little bit about on your acting career, since, unfortunately I haven't been able to see, Bending the Rules just yet. But I was wondering, since I love the comedic side of Edge, I mean, especially on Friday Night, or, you know, the old 5 second poses, you think you'd be interested in doing some more comedy in the future?
Yeah, because I enjoy comedy so much. You know, if I have to choose, I'm probably going to go comedy first, because I like to laugh. You know, I'm an idiot, so I get off on laughing. And you know, Bending the Rules was it didn't know what it was. You know, it was kind of a book trying to be a bunch of different things, but the comedic aspect of it I really enjoyed. Because I could do some of my, you know, stupid, you know, over the top facial reactions and things like that, and it fit, it worked. You know, I did Mad TV and I had so much fun doing that.
I just watched that sketch. That was hysterical.
I had so much fun doing that, you know, and it was so ridiculous, and it was like the Edge and Christian stuff. The more ridiculous, the better. That makes it work better. So, yeah, I could definitely see doing more stuff like that and, you know, having a lot of fun with it, too.
Now, one thing we do like to ask here on the network, since you're a bit of a comedy guy, you like to have a bit of fun,
What's the best rib you have either pulled, seen pulled, or had pulled on you?
I don't know. There wasn't really, like, a whole lot. You know, it'd just be, Owen was always great for, for doing stuff, whether it be in the ring, but just, like, fun, harmless stuff, at least to me. but he would have, like, long-term ribs. Like, we were in Philadelphia once, and it was still the Brood, and Gangrel had just gotten this new watch. He was really, really happy and proud of this watch. And he had set it on top of his bag, and it was gone, you know. And he was, oh, man, my watch, crap. He was pretty upset about it. Well, 6 months later, same building, bag in the same place. By the end of the night, the watch is on it. And it's like, and I found out later it was Owen. You know, he kept that rib going for 6 months, saved it that entire time, just so that he could, do that. And a lot of his stuff, though, you didn't even know about. Like, it would happen, and you'd be like, a bitch, that was Owen. But the best stuff that, that I remember is the stuff that he would do in the ring that most of the audience probably wouldn't catch. But I did.
All right. And lastly, I just have, one final question. Obviously, the biggest moment for you this year, outside from being on Haven, was being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, which congratulations, by the way, on. Can we just get your thoughts on that moment and what it was like?
It was interesting. If you had asked me, a year before that, okay, or if you had told me, you're going to be retired after WrestleMania 27 and you'll be inducted in the Hall of Fame by WrestleMania 28, youngest person ever to go in, I'd be like, that, are you kidding? Like, even when I first got the call, they're like, we want to put you in this year. I was like, really? I was like, are you sure? It was kind of soon, but they wanted to, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to say no for sure. That's a huge compliment. So it was kind of, it was cool in a way, because if the last, when you see people's Hall of Fame packages or whatever, it's like I'll still be pretty much the way people remember me. So there's none of that, going up there as a 60-year-old man barely able to walk and going, ooh, gosh, yeesh, years haven't been kind to him. I don't have to worry about that. I get the, what is it, better to burn out than fade away? I've never agreed with that, but at least the last, visual of something I'm doing is generally that. Or hugging Kane now.
But it's moments like that you'll be remembered for, so it's awesome.
It's fun. And, when it, can benefit everybody and help further something along with their show too, if it makes sense, I'll be there, and it's nice to have the freedom to kind of come in and out and say hey to everybody and just go about my way and do my thing.
Will we ever actually see the hair back?
I don't think so. I'm going to be 39 this year. Part of the reason I cut it is like, okay, I'm not going to be one of those guys who's trying to cling to his youth. And then when I cut it off, now I figured out how to do short hair. At first I was really still trying to figure this beast out. Like, I was like, what do you do? Do you push it back? Like, do you part it to the side? I don't know. I haven't had short hair since I was in sixth grade. So I finally figured that I just got to go shorter. And the shorter I go, the better. And I don't think I ever want to go through that in-between kind of crazy stage that you see guys trying to pull off, and it just looks horrible. So I think I'll keep it short. The most you'll see is probably a massive beard.
As somebody who has had long hair and then gone to short hair, I can totally sympathize with that.
Yeah, it's just easier. I wake up now, and it's like, bam, wet it, go. Yeah, all right. Much lower maintenance.
Yeah, I am of the long-haired persuasion, so I'm well aware of this.
I was tired of it. It's time.
Okay, one last one for you. What would you like the legacy of Edge to be?
Don't even really think about it. That's up to other people, and what they, that's such a subjective thing, It's like getting asked, who's the best ever? Well, to me, the people I enjoy, watching the most, okay, well, that would be da-da-da-da-da-da. Each can't control what your legacy is going to be, because that's up to, you know, the people who run the WWE, and they'll put the images and implant what they want people to remember the legacy as. You know, doesn't matter to me. It's one of those deals, like, I can look back and go, cool, all right, I had good matches, I worked with everybody and tried to make everybody look good. So I'm okay with that.
Well, this has been incredible. I mean, really, we really sincerely appreciate you taking the time to talk to us tonight. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the one and only Edge. Stay tuned, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are coming back right after this.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Thursday nights are about to be a little more impactful, especially when it comes to talking about my TNA. And no, I don't mean that TNA.
Beer! Money!
I mean TNA. You know, James Storm, Bobby Roode, Joseph Parks, Abyss's brother, and all the other stars of Impact Wrestling. Plus, everything else in the world of wrestling going on today. It's The Rack, Thursday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop, and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say?
Yeah, but don't give a damn if you don't like me.
Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can. Watch late night C-SPAN. And rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood Paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish.
it's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. I mean, it's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. And I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
You think you know me.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Back WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Omega did such a fantastic job leading that interview. Good job, Omega.
I'm proud of myself.
Everybody else is proud of you too. You know, go have a cookie.
Yay, cookie!
You earned it. Now it's got to be chocolate chip. You don't get the peanut butter.
No.
Potential allergy problem.
Mm.
Sorry. I don't make the rules up. Well, okay, in this case I did. What the hell? Okay, just reading the chat room. So, yeah, once again, welcome back, everybody. I hope that you enjoyed the interview with Edge. Now, if you tuned in halfway through it, or if you're tuning in late and you missed it, don't worry, it's going to be archived, and you'll actually be able to catch that, probably by 5 o'clock this morning, Eastern Time, in our archives. Isn't that right, Mr. Producer? Because you've got nothing better to do than to make sure that the show gets up there with some kind of alacrity.
Yeah, right, whatever.
There you go, yeah. So, yeah, if you miss the interview...
The only thing that you'll be missing is the pre-show, oh my god, could he just call already, could he call already?
That went for 3 hours.
And the after show, oh my god, we just interviewed Edge, oh my god.
Yeah, no marking out here on the Wild Talk Radio Network at all for anything. But yeah, in all sincerity, yeah. Will he already please just for Cole? We gotta go. And Mace, how much did you stay for the whole interview?
I did.
That's impressive, especially when the latest news I got before I had to leave was you wouldn't be able to.
Yes, I delayed things to make sure that I was there, considering you ran off.
Well, I have a really...
You see, I support my friends and colleagues.
Blah, blah, blah. Don't you start with me. I've got a better built-in excuse than you could ever hope for. It's called my son, Owen. You cannot take shots at me. You can't take shots at me. No, not where Owen is concerned. That's all there is to it. Because, well, let's face it, the kid comes first.
So, on to your cheapness.
On to my what?
Your cheapness.
Who's cheap?
You.
Me? What about me being cheap? What are you talking about? I'm not cheap. Mm-hmm. I'm just really good with money,
okay.
Sonny.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are you alluding to? What are you,
Kelly Kelly?
What are you getting to? Yeah, Kelly Kelly will never appear at Canadian All Pro Wrestling. I don't care what the benefit is for the boys in the back.
Well, their well-being is not worth $10,000.
Don't even start. Why did you bring up me being cheap, son of a bitch? You were going somewhere with that.
No, no, actually I wasn't.
You weren't? You were just calling me cheap?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I'm going back to watch my football game now. You continue your show.
So you just let you take a cheap shot and then bugger off again?
The hell was with the Bill Nye, Rock?
That was Mace.
Yeah, okay, what the hell was with the Bill Nye, Mace?
I thought it would be a good what the fuck open to the show.
Well,
and I succeeded, so.
Yes. We got a couple of what the fucks. One from Omega and one from me. So what the fuck? And I believe we got like at least three in the chat room. Did you notice?
I should have, but. Well,
I think,
attention. Yeah.
I think everyone was expecting an Edge theme of some type, and all of a sudden Bill Nye comes up.
Definitely worthy of Andy Kaufman.
Hey, how often in this day and age does Bill Nye the Science Guy come up?
I heard him come up the other day and pretty much own someone's ass.
Bill Nye owning somebody?
Bill Nye will factually fuck you up.
Okay, well, he is a science guy, so I'm assuming that has something to do with it, eh?
It was kind of amazing, really. I need to go find it now.
Yeah, now all of this talk about Bill Nye is just making me remember that episode of Big Bang Theory where everybody goes up against Sheldon Cooper in the Science Olympics.
Science Bowl.
Yeah, the Science Bowl. And Sheldon refuses to let his, former Soviet Union physicist janitor correctly answer the question. So basically forfeits and loses to the other guys.
In America, I am janitor. Back in Soviet Russia, I am physicist.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And then Penny decides to solve the entire thing of who's smarter. By asking all of these questions and they can't figure it out, and they finally get an answer that Penny gives to them, and the answer was like the Klingons or something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, they screwed them all up. But anyway,
yeah.
Should we be talking about something else other than TV shows? Because that almost sounds like something that would belong on a geek show that we had here once upon a time.
You're gonna make Omega hang up.
I don't remember what you're talking about, Maze.
I barely remember it either. It had three goofballs on it.
Yeah. Okay, whatever happened to that comic book show we had on here?
Can I just give you guys a friendly warning? You keep it up, you know he's going to play a clip from it. Football or no, he'll dig something.
He won't. There's 2 minutes left and there's a point difference in the football game. Rock ain't playing shit.
And my team was down the 1 point. Mace knows.
Okay, who's playing? Philadelphia Eagles and who?
The Giants.
The New York Giants.
The New York Giants. And what's the score?
17-16.
17-16, okay. Well, now that we've got the sports scores out of the way, because at least half the chat room watches NFL football. I know that much for a fact. Why don't we talk a little bit about Jerry Lawler? Did you guys hear that he's targeted a full-time return already?
Well,
dude,
yeah,
does not like sitting around.
No, he's actually going to make an appearance on SmackDown in October. And I'm just going to see if I can find the date here. October 16th, he'll be appearing at the SmackDown taping in Memphis, Tennessee.
Of course.
However, he's targeting November for his full-time return to both the Squared Circle and the broadcast booth. So he's not finished wrestling, as far as the report goes here, guys.
Well, you know for a fact, Vince won't mind him so much coming back in commentary. It'll be a long time before you see him in a WWE ring again, but then again, that doesn't take into account all his own independent bookings.
Yeah, well, as far as independent bookings go, as a matter of fact, this past weekend, he actually made an appearance at the Mid-South Fair in South Haven, Mississippi. on Friday, as a matter of fact. Now, before his heart, go ahead.
I was going to say, keep in mind, he does have a special contract with the WWE that allows him to take independent dates.
Oh, yeah.
That can change, because I'm sure Vince does not want him to die while on the payroll.
Well, that would probably just cause a lot of problems for Linda.
Yeah. Just a
cheap
few.
Shot.
Because of course everything has to revolve around what Linda's doing.
Yeah, you know, cheap shot, but it's true. Let's face it. But he was actually scheduled to wrestle in two matches. However, he met fans and served as a ringside commentator for his appearance. So at least he didn't, you know, I shouldn't say at least. I mean, the guy just recovered from a heart attack that kills 95% of people who have it. But he honored his commitment and showed up at any rate, even if, you know, didn't wrestle. But after it happened, you had all of these people posting everywhere in chat rooms and on forum boards, and people were writing opinion columns and everything all over the IWC talking about, you know, he's 62 years old, he shouldn't be wrestling anymore, that's why he had the heart attack.
Yeah, good, whatever. I'm just watching one of the Philadelphia guys go headfirst into a pack of idiots.
Well, there you go. Yeah, ironically...
Go around him, you fucking moron!
There you go. Ironically enough, however, all of these people talking about him having a heart attack because he's wrestling at 62 don't realize that, or at least they didn't realize until Jerry talked about it afterwards, that heart trouble is genetic in his family. His dad died of a heart attack, and other family members have had heart problems. He is actually crediting the fact that he is a professional wrestler with saving his life. How ironic is this?
Well, Jerry's one tough son of a bitch, especially being brought through in that age.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's probably a lot tougher than most people, especially seeing how quickly he recovered from the heart attack, too.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much given up.
Very little damage, which was quite surprising.
Yeah, I was surprised as hell to actually see him on Raw, when was it? 2 weeks ago now. Which is like literally 2 weeks after he had a heart attack.
It was this Monday, this past Monday.
Okay, so it was 1 week ago.
Right.
And that was what, 2 weeks after his heart attack was September 10th, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that recovery time, that rebound is absolutely incredible. And you have to wonder just what kind of great condition he is in physically to be able to rebound like that from such a massive affliction, if you will. Now, apparently, he wanted to return to the ring, actually the wrestle, as well as do commentary this month.
Jeez. I'm sorry, Jerry. You do not roll the dice with that more than once.
Yeah. Vince McMahon said, apparently Vince McMahon felt that was just a little bit too soon. And I got to agree with Vince.
In your opinion, Tim, when should Jerry Lawler at least come back to announcing?
When should he? Well, first off, as far as that goes, he has made, like I've been talking about, an absolutely incredible and impressive recovery to this point already from this heart attack of his. As soon as his voice recovers fully from having that tube shoved down his throat, there's no reason he couldn't go back to commentary. All he's doing is sitting on his ass and talking. Really. He's not doing anything that would endanger his heart. And for that matter, that goes back again to him being in such great shape, being, you know, still wrestling at the age of 62, saving his life, right, Omega?
You say he's not doing anything that might hurt his heart. You're not accounting the guy he's going to be sitting next to for 3 hours.
Yeah, okay. He did actually blame Cole for the heart attack, didn't he?
A little bit, yeah. That's when you know Jerry's feeling better, is when he's cracking jokes.
Yeah.
That probably
I believe the joke
I believe the joke was something along the lines of, I'm surprised I didn't have it sooner.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it's, try sitting next to you every, you know, for 3 hours every week, and I defy anyone to not have a heart attack.
Something like that. Anyway, it was still funny as all hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as him returning and sitting at that table, probably with the doctors okay and everything else like that, I wouldn't have a problem if he showed up the middle of October, as opposed to waiting till November.
I think the bigger concern, not necessarily with the health thing, is the fact that this is going to be a lot of traveling again right after this heart attack.
Yeah, well, being on the
primary thing. Not, like, yeah, I would be amazed if WWE would ever allow him into a wrestling ring again.
No.
But right now, I think they're just going to take, it seems like they're being very, very careful with him, which I can't blame them. So yeah, no heavy traveling, no wrestling. I don't see, I can't fault the WWE for it. You know, I don't want Jerry going anywhere either.
Yeah.
We lost him for 20 minutes. That was long enough.
That was more than long enough. That was way too long. Yeah, I don't have a problem with him.
I'm quite sure that Jerry's going to be going under a shit ton of doctor evaluations under, you know, 18 different doctors to get an okay before Vince will even let him anywhere back near a building at this point.
Yeah, well, I can't disagree with that one. Yeah, like I was saying, if everything is going as well as we're being led to believe, middle of October wouldn't be too harsh, but I wouldn't have any problems not seeing Jerry back before Christmas, just to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just so we have him for another couple of years before he decides to still, you know, retire for good.
But as Omega said, he's one of these guys who seems to have a very big problem with just having to sit back and do nothing.
Yeah, that's just true.
Yeah, I was going to say, you could tell the guy loves what he does. I mean, you know, he does not have to do any of this. He doesn't have to take independent wrestling dates. He does it because he loves doing it.
Yeah. What did you guys think about his man cave?
The throne.
Holy cow, what a throne that chair is, eh?
I'm just wondering where the remotes were. That's not something you leave in a man cave or something unless you got a big ass television in front of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking the remotes are probably inside one of the arms of the chairs, because I could see that chair actually having an arm that lifts up, and there's your spot for your remotes, and then you've got your beer can holders, and
I could see that thing having a mini fridge under it.
Well, that's on the other arm. Right? When you open up the other arm, there's your mini fridge with the dispenser, and with spring loaded, and it pops up beer every time you open it up. There's the beer. You just grab it. You don't have to go fishing. That'd be kind of a neat chair, actually.
So, be an awesome chair.
Yeah. So yeah, Jerry Lawler coming back. I'm looking forward to it. But like I said, you know, don't Jerry, don't come back until you're like 100%. Really, seriously, we don't want to lose you.
He'll be back. He'll be back when he's all well and good, and when everybody says he can.
Well, he's probably going to be back before everybody says he can, knowing Jerry Lawler.
Isn't that WWE tradition, come back a little bit sooner than you're supposed to?
Yeah. I think your name's John Cena.
There you go. Yeah, so did you guys, are you still digging the Kane versus Daniel Bryan thing? The whole
set?
Not just the men?
Of course. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so you must have liked the cafe scene, the restaurant thing last week.
Oh, God, Kane is the waiter. Just me, I died.
Where the hell did they come up with the name Gerald?
Just such a plain, ordinary name. I mean, they might have lifted it from the actual waiter there.
Well, what would have been hilarious as hell and somewhat inside if he introduces himself as Glenn, your waiter?
That's a little too exposed.
Well,
what he should have done was introduce himself as Isaac.
No, that would be a little too exposed.
No, that's a little bit too insider. But still, it would have been funny.
It would have been.
Yeah, it would have been. Either war would have been. So, sitting there, and they basically reenact the both of them, the famous scene from When Harry Met Sally.
Mm-hmm.
You
Which
knew.
I think we all called after the first segment. It's like they have to do that scene.
You know what's coming. And when you figured that out, you just knew you were going to see Mae Young.
No, I knew that it cut to some old ladies, you know, to finish off that scene. I was not expecting Mae Young. I mean, the last time WWE parodied that, it was Linda McMahon, which I don't think she's going to do now.
Yeah, no, not at this point in time. Thank you very much for playing.
But it's, again, that wonderful world of the WWE where anyone who's ever been in the company ever could just miraculously pop up at any time.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, that whole skit, the whole thing, it was quite humorous. But, and guys, don't give me grief for this because I did not make up the notes. This is from the producer. He's asking who gives better pleasure, Kane or Brian?
Wait, that's not how I said it. That's not how I said it at all.
No, right on the notes it says, who gives the better pleasure?
Right, and then read the question.
Well, you know, that's a separate topic because you've got it all broken up.
Whatever, forget it.
So who, okay, fine, we'll play it your way. Who
Fail
better-
question, abort, move
it,
on.
It wasn't, it was actually wasn't the question, it was just like the, you know, what
it's
the topic,
topic
is.
Title.
Right, exactly.
The actual question is who delivers a, this is even worse, who
oh,
delivers a better dose of excitement? Kane to Daniel Bryan as Gerald or Kurt Angle to Kirstie Hemme?
This would imply that I've actually seen Impact in the last year.
No, we're talking about the WrestleMania 21 skit.
Oh, God, that was them in that skit. Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow. Going back a fair way there, Ron.
That completely blanked from my mind. I remembered Linda was in it. I completely forgot who was doing the skit.
7 whole years ago, kids.
My God.
7.5 now, I guess.
I wasn't even Omega at the time.
Yeah, no, you're just somebody else.
That wasn't me.
So can you answer his question? Who gives the better dose of excitement?
No,
that's gonna have to take us actually going back and rewatching the Kurt Angle and Chrissy Hemme skit to sort of.
No, I can remember that. I can remember it now because it's. It's Chrissy Hemme doing the scene from When Harry Met Sally straight up, but it's Angle shouting tap, tap, tap.
As opposed to no, no, no.
And I'm, you know, Kane and Daniel Bryan was funnier. Not only the fact that you have Kane doing that skit, but the fact you work in Daniel Bryan's catchphrase too. It fit too perfectly.
So we'll go with that one. Yeah. Hey guys, why don't we do a little round table?
Do we have to?
Can we wait about 30-odd seconds?
Before the producer has a fucking heart attack.
Before the producer... Before we find the producer standing in Philadelphia, exploded.
I figured that he was more into the game than you, Mace, so I was going to fuck him up by trying to get him to play the sound clip now.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancy roundtable. With no intro. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. With no intro. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And if any of my fans are listening for the first time, I apologize.
What network is the damn game on? Is that on Fox? NBC?
I've got it on ESPN over
NBC.
Here. I have no idea what's over there.
NBC. What the hell channel is NBC? Used to be 16. And it still is. 19-17, 15 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Philadelphia Eagles lead the New York Giants as we see Tynes coming across the field.
And Rock's grabbing for the oxygen to make sure he stays alive.
15 seconds, 3rd and 19. Come on, you telling me they got a shot?
There was 3 pass interferences in a row, and now they're going for a field goal. So,
what yard? What yard line?
Shut up! It's up.
From the 34-yard line, it's up, and it's wide.
How the hell is the Australian and the Canadian ahead of me?
Satellite.
Magic.
Well, they just called a timeout. Oh no, they're gonna have to redo it. The timeout was before the kick.
Is this the last time to get this?
Just doesn't end.
Replacement refs. I just can't wait for them to go.
I think they have gone.
Really? I thought they were off as of this week. This was their last week, and then they switched.
I can't remember.
The replacement refs came, or the regular refs came back to work Thursday night. Their first game back was Thursday. I think it was against Cleveland.
So that's why this still isn't in like the second quarter, 4 hours in.
Yeah, because they didn't blow the call.
That's because there's no flag every 3 seconds.
Okay, 54-yard field goal attempt. Up! Oh, no. Damn.
Short.
I don't believe it. Two chances.
And they fucked them both.
Okay, Rock.
Rock's doing a happy dance.
can you breathe easy now, Rock? Yeah, he's off doing the happy dance. You're right. So, while we celebrate the Philadelphia Eagles hanging on by less than the skin of their teeth as the ball drops like 2 feet short of the goalpost. Look at this. Look at this. Not even 2 feet. It was inside of 2 feet short of the goalpost.
That's going to eat at him for a while.
Oh, man. He's going to wind up having horse shit dumped on his front lawn. It happens. I've seen it. Roundtable question, guys. Who is the greatest good guy in wrestling history? Omega.
You know, I hate to go cliche, but I'm going to have to say Hulk Hogan. I mean, okay, say what you want about the guy's wrestling talent. The guy, in his heyday, just had more charisma than most of that locker room put together. Uh-huh. He was it. He was the superhero. He was the live-action superhero the kids read about in the comics and watched in cartoons. Except he was real. You know, he was defeating these big enemies. He was
the fact that he was in the cartoons and in movies.
I mean, he actually existed in some sort of weird, you know, is real thing. You're just yes.
He just loves giving you a hard time. Swear to God.
Well, yeah, like that's not the usual on this network.
There you go. Okay, so Hulk Hogan, I've got one thing to say, I've just got one comment about what you've been saying though, and then I'll shut up.
Sure.
You said say what you will about his wrestling talent.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say anything about his wrestling talent because that'd be a very short conversation. He doesn't have any.
Just had to go for the cheap one, didn't you?
I did, but it worked. Go ahead, continue.
Oh boy.
Tim, cheap. You knew it was gonna happen. Anyway.
You knew it was coming, yeah. That was a cheap shot, and well, who delivered it? Thanks, Rock.
Yeah. When you talk about the ultimate good guy in wrestling, you know, okay, there's the guy that the kids looked up to, there's the guy who always overcame, and he had enough charisma to make it work, and it was in a day when wrestling could be that campy, and it still worked. So you really, you know, I don't think anyone since then, but from wrestling fans getting more cynical to the product getting more realistic, I don't think anyone newer than that could qualify for, you know, the greatest good guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now Mace is going to say someone from ECW.
No, I'm actually right there with you, Omega.
I've got what?
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, greatest good guy in wrestling history. Say your prayers, take your vitamins, believe in the power of Hulkamania, brother. He's exactly what you said. Live action superhero.
Well, the only thing I could add to it, I'm going to have to agree with both of you. The only thing I could add to that is he made professional wrestling basically the mainstream product it is today. Vince made it that, but he was the guy that you saw. He was in the forefront of that change. And so everybody associated Hulk Hogan, the Hulkster, Hulkamania, take your vitamins and say your prayers, little rabbit, with all of that. You know, how can you say anything different, whether you like Hogan or not? And let's face it, at one point in time, we all did.
Now, somebody send an ambulance around to a place in Florida, because I think Omega just died of shock of everybody agreeing with him.
No kidding.
Yeah, Omega, you going to be okay? Do we have to get Jerry Lawler's doctors flown in?
No, I'm okay. You wouldn't pay for them anyway, you asshole.
Well, no, I built it to rock. What do you think, I'm stupid? So, yeah, there it is. The greatest good guy in wrestling history. If you got a differing opinion, post it in the chat room. I can't see that happening. Somebody, I dare you to type in Diamond Dallas Page and back it up. Seriously, I dare you. Anybody says John Cena, you're an idiot. Even though you're entitled to your own opinions. Sometimes your opinions
actually
make you an idiot.
WWE.com says Bruno Sammartino.
Bruno Sammartino, really? The greatest good guy ever?
Yep. In the nice little top 50 good guys in wrestling history, Hogan comes in at number 2.
Well, of course he comes in at number 2. It's a shot at Hogan.
Okay, you know.
Number 3 is Austin. John Cena comes in at 4.
We really shouldn't even credit this, because the last time we read through a list on WWE.com, it was utter tripe.
I would like to forward a motion right now, not just between the three of us and Rock, but the chat room as well. Anytime any of these lists come up and we have to talk lists, I say that we basically put no stock in WWE's version and make ours the official one.
Okay, I second that.
Well, enough, Diamond Dallas Page at number 50.
Okay, we have a second. Mace, any dissension?
No, I agree, and these lists are bullshit. I'm just looking through now just to have a look, and it's like, okay, Trish Stratus at number 47.
Okay, WWE, we're going to be making fun of you every time you post a stupid fucking list like this, which is every time you post a list.
Trish Stratus.
Motion carried.
Trish Stratus in a top 50 good guys list.
Yeah. Yeah. Didn't know Trish Stratus was a guy.
Oh, no, maybe she's one of the guys, even though she's not a guy. Can't a chick be one of the guys? The answer is yes, but usually they're uglier than sin. Well, it's true. So, yeah, there's our great debate.
Jerry Lawler at number 35, what the fuck? Lawler shouldn't be in here. He was a fucking heel for most of his career.
For about 70%.
That was a heel string commentary.
Yeah, no, for about 70% of his wrestling career, he was a heel.
I think Cowboy Chick disagrees with your statements, Tim. She says, fuck you.
Why? Is she considering herself one of the guys? She can't. She's not. She's got big boobs. So she's definitely not one of the guys. She's one of the gang. That's different. She's women can be one of the gang. Good looking or not.
You. Hang on. I'm getting mixed signals here. Can you repeat that?
What? No, I can't because I wasn't listening. I say we just move on to Rock's little thing that he calls buy or sell.
Oh, wrong thing.
That's the wrong one. Yeah. What are you playing? Philadelphia Eagles win song?
Yeah, sorry. Wrong thing. Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah, sure.
he played the outro to the show early.
Yeah. Talk about being a fan.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Or some.
No! 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 No!
Easy and Simple, Buy or Sell. Tim Stein, do you buy or sell this idea that Kelly Kelly leaving WWE is a good move for WWE?
Oh, God, you know what? I think what that is just one of those special things that they give away when you walk into the door. It's kind of like when you walk going to see the All-Star Game or the Skills competition for your favorite team, and they give you the Thunder Sticks for free. I don't think you have to pay for it. It's just there, and here you go. Have fun with it. That, what do you mean that made no sense? I don't have to shell out any money, so I don't have to buy it. It's not going to hurt them, so I don't have to sell it. It's neither a good thing nor a bad thing, because the Divas division is bullshit to begin with, and it doesn't matter. You take Kelly Kelly, who has sporadically been on television for the last 6 months and hasn't really done fuck all. It's neither a good move nor a bad move. It's just like, you know, get the fuck out of here. We're done with you.
Omega, buy or sell.
So, okay, I'll buy it.
Anyway, Omega, buy or sell?
Not for $10,000 an appearance, I wouldn't buy it.
Well, but no, that's a different thing.
Her actually leaving, yes, I will buy that is a good move for the WWE, because the trend in divas who really didn't do anything except have perky tits and blonde hair kind of started with Kelly Kelly. I mean, because she was the pretty one. She ended up being the focus of the Diva division, and where you put your focus is pretty much how the entire division revolves. You know, especially when it's a division like the Divas, who get no attention whatsoever. So they all pretty much get sent around in the same loops, and it all just kind of revolves around that center little planet. And
oh, boy. Come on, admit the truth, Omega. You're just pissed off with her because she doesn't know how to work a bra.
Yes.
Uh-huh, there it is.
And if you
I have been looking forward to this day since the bra failed to fall.
And if you want to see the bra fail to fall, check out WTR Riffs on the website where we riffed it.
My hope is, with her gone, the mood of the Divas division changes.
Good luck with that.
I said hope. I know it's a foolish one.
Yeah,
but let me have it.
That. You know who it is.
Lee's Mace, buy or sell.
Kelly Kelly leaving WWE, good move. For the WWE, I'd have to sell. Only because, well, she was somehow putting butts in seats. It seems that the teenage demographic seem to love drooling over her. If we change the question, is Kelly Kelly leaving the WWE a good move for the fans? I'd buy it. Because we've been wanting to get rid of the bitch for so fucking long. Now it's finally happened, and now her management's making her out to be a fucking money hungry bitch. All I can say is justification. $10,000 a fucking appearance.
Yeah, Kelly Kelly demanding her. Well, her agent is demanding it, and apparently,
No, it's not her agent. It's her fucking pimp at this point.
Yeah, well, okay, her agent, her pimp at this point, same thing. But there's a bit of a gentleman's agreement, I guess you can call it, in professional wrestling, Mace. If you and I agree verbally to a contract, all we got to do is basically put pen to paper, and it's already a done deal before that happens, correct?
No.
No?
Until pen is put to paper, I still have the option to pull out at any time for any reason.
Well, yeah, but basically, how many times have you ever done that? You know, honor the agreement that you came to, right? You understand what I'm talking about.
I've had to drop out of shows every now and again.
Well,
even though I've
totally
agreed to be there.
Let me clarify and specify. Somebody comes to you and says, okay, I'll pay you, Mace, $150 to show up at my wrestling show and wrestle a match. How does that sound? Does that sound good to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then all of a sudden, you just agreed to it. We've got an agreement. I start advertising that you're going to be there. Somebody comes to you a week later and says, Mace, I'll pay you $175 if you come to this other place on the same night instead. You've already made that verbal agreement with me. I've already started advertising. As somebody who's worked in the business, what are you going to do? You going to honor your original commitment, or are you going to say, fuck you, I want the extra $25?
Well, for an extra $25, I wouldn't exactly be dropping out of a show. If they doubled the amount, then I'd be turning around and go, screw you, I'm going with the bigger money. because until I actually set foot at your show and money exchanges hand, I technically don't owe you shit.
Yeah, okay. Well,
that's the big problem is with this entire thing with the Kelly Kelly situation. The guy never sent any deposit or anything to make her liable. It was all, you know, word of mouth agreements. Nothing was put in the paper. No money exchanged hands. So until the money exchanges hands, or at least the deposit has exchanged hands, Kelly Kelly and her management is within every right to turn around and say, yeah, we're going to go to the other show that's offering better money.
Yeah. Okay. Now, would you like to know who posted that as a news article or who talked about it?
That was what's his face for the Legends of the Ring or whatever it is.
Oh, come on.
Anyway, up next, buy or sell Omega Samoa Joe as the new TNA television champion.
You're not going to let him tell everybody it was Rob Feinstein?
I was moving along, Tim. You're dragging the show down. Move along. So, Omega, buy or sell Samoa Joe as the new TNA television champion.
I will buy it because anything that gives Samoa Joe even a little bit of credibility in TNA is probably a good thing. The guy gets absolutely nothing of what he deserves. He is one of the most underutilized talents in the entire roster. To give him any type of attention is a good thing.
Mace, buy or sell. Good move?
Bought it? Of course I'll buy it. Samoa Joe with the title belt, with some recognition. Of course I'm going to buy it.
Now the question is, what title belt did they actually give him on Thursday?
I don't fucking know. I haven't watched it yet.
No, apparently they didn't actually give him the TV title. They just gave him some random belt, and he hid what the front said.
Okay, I have not watched Impact yet.
I understand that.
I was busy this weekend. I had a life.
I'm telling the people out there. I'm explaining. Tim, buy or sell.
Take my money. I got it from Omega.
Now you're a Jew who steals.
No, I didn't say I stole it. I said I got it from him. I won the bet.
So you're buying Samoa Joe as your TV champion?
Yep.
Okay. So we'll stick with you, Tim. A street fight as the stipulation for Bobby Roode versus James Storm at Bound for Glory. Buy or sell that as the stipulation?
Provided it's an actual street fight, I'll buy it.
Okay. Mace.
Yeah, we've been needing them to actually get into a fight instead of a wrestling match, so yeah, I'll buy it.
Oh, Mega.
Sell.
How come?
Just to be different, that's how come.
No, I have a legitimate reason for this.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, uh-huh. See, when I first saw this, keep in mind, not watching TNA, but when I first saw... What I do know is how long these guys have been feuding and how long they've had leading up to this. And all I could think to myself when I saw this was, that's it? It's a street fight? I mean, okay, they get to swing a few weapons and...
But
that's it?
But Omega, it's just not that. It's not just a regular street fight.
Is it gonna be one of those TNA bullshit we're gonna fill the ring full of props ring street fight?
No, it has King Mo as the special guest referee.
Oh, Lottie fucking da.
Or as a special enforcer, I should say.
It's this kind of thing that made me realize that TNA really doesn't have any kind of feud-ending match. It doesn't have a Hell in a Cell. It doesn't have a real Iron Man match because they only run 30-minute Iron Man matches. You don't have any big match that says, okay, when a feud's got this much build up to it, when it's got this much lead in, this is where it goes to die. This is it. We cannot elevate it any further. And TNA doesn't have that. You know, you can put them in a cage, big deal. They've been having cage matches forever. You put them in, it's no holds barred or it's street fight. Okay, they can swing a few weapons. They've done that in their normal matches. It's just not a big deal. And it should be. There should be something bigger that they can do.
Last Man Standing?
No!
No?
See this, no. You see these kinds of stipulations all the freaking time. You need something big.
Texas Deathmatch?
Are you listening to me?
I'm reading what Lindsay said. She gave me the response for Texas Deathmatch. You yell at her now.
Build a metal structure and have them try to kill each other.
How about that red thing they have?
No! God, that thing nearly killed the people who were in the match the first time.
Maybe they could bring back this. I believe they used to have a six-sided ring at some point, put a cage in it, and pretend it was an octagon.
I think last time these guys wound up in there, it looks Skipper head scissored one of them all the way down. God, it's been a long time since that.
Yes.
Maybe it's time we bring back the electrified cage match.
Oh yeah, that went so well. That went so well.
Could always bring back Chamber of Horrors.
You see. That's what I was gonna say, cause if, you know, when Raven was around, you had this big, everyone's gonna die type match, and you can't really do it without him.
Right.
So because he's the only one who can keep the name straight.
Come on, Omega, you know you wanna see Bobby Roode versus James Storm in a casket match.
Yeah. Can it lower from the ceiling?
And that, I don't think, what did they call it? They can't even call it a casket
match. Last Rights match.
Last Rights.
Which of it is available on the WTRFs, by the way?
And you know what? If they did the Last Rights match, and whoever lost, they could hold a funeral for him afterwards.
So, can we move on now, Mike? Are you good?
I'm good.
We'll start with you. Would you buy an I'm a Paul Heyman guy t-shirt? Buy or sell this idea?
Take my money now.
Have you seen them?
No.
Okay. Base, buy or sell?
I've been trying to look for the pre-order page.
they're not pre-order page yet. They're only asking for which design you like.
I'll buy them all. Just put them on the fucking shop already.
This shirt could have a flaming dog turd on it. I think we'd both be buying it.
How about you, Tim? Buy or sell?
Oh, that means I have to shell out money, doesn't it?
Yes.
There we go.
All right. Hey, everybody, you could donate through PayPal to WTR, the Wild Talk Radio Network. All you got to do is send as much money as you can to shopwtr@russelltalkradio.com.
Yeah, they're not paying for your clothes.
Shit, I tried. You know what? The actual page where the three choices you have, I like the third one, front, and the second one, the back. So if you hybrid those two, I'll buy two of them.
Someone link me to this? I can't find it.
Yeah, I know. I want to see this page now.
Tim still should have the link from yesterday.
Yeah, I don't because it's on the laptop and I was.
I don't give a shit who's got it. Just fucking someone find it, or
I've been trying to search their thing for it. I can't find it at the moment.
Indrum Heller. Home of the world's tallest, the world's largest dinosaur.
There we go. Where's our little group chat thingy? There we go.
Where?
What is the point of showing a saving code right on the top of the WWE shop? It's no... God, it makes no sense.
So now, have you guys had a chance to look at the shirts?
I'm liking the first and last designs. The one in the middle just way too demonic.
Currently leading is the third one.
You know why third one's leading? Because it's black.
The third one's leading because it doesn't have this mutated bald man on the front. I like the sounds of it, but you know, I like the whole Paul Heyman guy shirt. I don't want Paul Heyman staring creepily at people that I'm walking past while I wear the shirt.
Because then they'll be looking back at you the same way.
Well, actually,
he already gets enough stares when he wears his own promotional merchandise.
What? Yeah, exactly. What I want is design 3 with the words from design 2 on the back. Because I don't dig the voice of the voice of the voiceless.
Yeah, I would rather the whole voice of the voiceless thing be on a CM Punk t-shirt. But either way, I think it's unanimously decided, shut up and take my fucking money.
Pretty much.
Okay, and we will as we now move on to what, Tim?
It's time, that's right, it's time for the great debate.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR squared circle for this week's great debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me you did not just say that.
Up first this week is Goldust versus Goldberg. Up first, Goldust or Goldberg?
We have a very flamboyant entrance music going along with a very flamboyant character versus the ultra serious march of somebody coming down to the ring to beat the living shit out of you. Both fit extremely well to the character. Both are very noticeable, like, you cannot mistake who it is when that music hits. But even going to the point where I was watching a WCW Nitro episode from 1996.
Yeah, that's old.
Before Goldberg was even around, and I heard the music and I thought, wait, this is the wrong year. And out comes this short, fat, balding Japanese guy.
What was his name?
Yeah. I can't remember. It was like Yoshihiro Yabadabadabidabide.
Oh, that
it
guy.
Was one of it was one of them names. Omega knows the names. One of those use every letter in the Japanese alphabet. So, I'm going to go with Goldust on this one, only because Mr. Hubba Dubba Dubba Dubby used it once upon a time, and let's try not to recycle themes, if possible.
So that was Goldust?
Yeah.
Omega.
Okay, let's see if I can't get through this without offending any other nations or anything.
You sure? You sure you'll be able to?
Gonna try. Jeez. This is tough. Mace pointed it out. I mean, they're two very appropriate, very well-fit themes. You know, and neither one of them really sounds bad either. This is a really hard one. Like, this is harder than it should. It sounds like it should be easy, but it's not. And Rock didn't pull his usual screw up and put the WWE Goldberg theme in there.
Fuck you!
Would have made it easy.
Fuck you.
He hates it when you point out his mistakes, you know.
Just for that, I am happy we're asking you the quick hit question we are tonight.
Oh yeah, like you weren't happy when you weren't before.
Anyway, continue.
Bullshit.
I'm going to say Goldust.
Hmm.
If only because it does have a little bit more personality to it. Because Goldberg's got the beat going with the march, and you know someone's going to get their ass kicked as soon as you hear that theme. It didn't matter who came out to it. It sounds like a theme that means business. But the actual music to it, I don't know, doesn't have the same flow that Goldust does.
Tim.
Oh. I was kind of dreading this matchup. But at the end of the day, I gotta go Goldust too. I mean, yeah, Goldberg's music hits, somebody's next, bottom line. But when you hear Goldust's music, even before you see the gold paper come raining down and the glitter and the sparkles come raining down and everything looks like it's, you know, 185:1 ratio, Panavision movie film. You just get like images and ideas and visions and stuff popping into your head, and Goldust, one wacky motherfucker, didn't ever know what the hell he was going to do. Plus, he's led by that chick smoking the cigar, never mind that it's like the phallic symbol thing happening, and she's big-chested, and let's face it, all the 19-year-old boys were into watching her coming out. And the 20-something as well.
And that 40-year-old named Tim Stein.
I wasn't 40 back then. Fuck off, asshole. But point being made, Rock, thank you. Yeah, you know, it's just the freaky deaky, and you never know what's going to happen with Goldust as opposed to Goldberg. Yeah, okay, somebody's next. That's fine, that's dandy. I'm sorry, Goldberg, to me, kind of sort of wore out his welcome after his fifth match. I mean, it was obvious what's going to happen, what's going to go on. There's no drama, there's no... Yeah, whatever, you know, like, talk to me when it gets interesting. But with Goldust, you know, the music hits, you know, he's coming out, you don't know what you're in for. But it was usually a pretty good time in the ring. So, yeah, Goldust.
Up next, Edge takes on the Hardy Boys.
You know me.
Everything is coming to life. A
you said no fair, Tim. You're up first. Edge or the Hardys?
No fair. You put Edge up against the Hardys?
Mm-hmm.
No. Nope. No contest. Just not right. It's Edge.
Okay. No reason.
Yeah, don't expect me to expand on that. I shouldn't have to. It's Edge, for fuck's sakes.
Mace.
Edge.
Omega.
Am I the only one that's actually going to explain this?
Yeah, hopefully.
Do you need to?
You really don't need to. I'm going to go ahead anyway, just so we can make it nice and official here.
Yeah, well, Mace and I are from the same school. Sorry.
Hey, it's goddamn Edge. The guy always beats the Hardys. Bottom line.
Either in the ring
besides
or out of it.
Besides that, the Hardys music is bought in generic crap. You know, the music is not popular for anything the music did. It is popular because it was attached to the Hardy Boys. That doesn't make the song good, though. It certainly doesn't make it as damn good as the one Edge is using.
Let's not forget Jeff's goofy little fucking dance bullshit.
Yeah, the only thing I can... Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing is every time I see that, I hear that music, all I can think is...
Jeff Hardy. Jeff,
yeah, well, that's one thing, does it? Jeff just flailing his hair and throwing loose face paint all over the crowd.
Alright, so Edge is a clean sweep. Next week on The Great Debate, DX takes on Roddy Piper. Bret Hart takes on Demolition.
Damn.
Indeed, let's get this shit over with.
Damn. Well, hey, that's it. We're done. Everybody, thanks for tuning in tonight. What?
Aren't you missing something?
No.
You're not going to let... No. I tried. Omega, you owe me. I tried to just skip completely. But
I carried an interview for you.
Hey, don't blame me. If he hadn't called me on it, we could have gotten through with it, gotten away with it, unless Rock picked up on it. I tried. Well, I guess we might as well do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Tim, what's the worst thing about living in a motel?
Oh, fuck. The worst thing about living in a motel?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Rock.
You're welcome, Tim.
You're going to have to explain now to people why you were asking me that question.
No, I'm just asking you the question.
Oh, the job that I do takes me out of town for a week at a time sometimes. You have to stay in a motel in these small little dinky dumbass towns. I could name any number of things. You know, you got to stay in a motel in a small town where there's absolutely nothing to do. In most of them, there's no stocked fridges, there's no alcohol in the room. You actually have to go out and get some of that shit.
Oh my god, you have to actually go out and get your alcohol. Oh my god.
They always block the fucking porn channels on the digital TV. The screens are ridiculously small. They're like 24-inch TVs. What the fuck is that? You know, it's not just any one thing. It's a whole bunch of stuff. Half the motel rooms, the beds are absolutely terrible. I swear to God, they take the mattresses from creaky old fold-out beds that are 95 years old and use those in some of these motel rooms that I have to stay in. So what's the worst thing about having to stay in a motel when I'm on the road?
Mm-hmm.
All of the above. Ask me what the best thing is.
And yet the hooker's always next door and he still can't get any.
Ask me what the best thing about staying in the motel, having to stay in a motel is.
What's the best thing, Tim?
I write that shit off and get it paid for by the company.
So, Tim, we need to know. So you don't take the homebrew with you?
No, but the next time I have to go down to Cardston, Alberta, I will be taking some homebrew with me. Because it's a Mormon town. It's freaking dry. You can't even buy a beer at a restaurant to have after dinner. Forget a glass of wine with your steak. What the f*** is that? Mormons, idiots.
Because, you know, we figured you either take the homebrew with you to drink or use it for gas for your car.
It's not potent enough to use for gas in the car. I'd have to distill it.
No, that's the shit that I drink.
There you go.
Mace. Show me a beer.
Mace, if you could play one position in the National Football League, what would it be and why?
surprisingly enough, I'd actually just be a defender.
Okay, but what position?
What position, yeah.
I don't fucking know! Right. To me, there's still the guy who gets the ball and runs, the one who throws the fucking thing, the one that kicked the damn thing, and the row of brick fucking walls that they have to try and get past.
Alright, would you be
Mace,
more...
just say tight
just,
end.
Ah, fuck.
I beat you to it, Omega.
You didn't beat me to it, you just...
I gave you a bad image. I gave you a visual, did I? It's really disappointing to me that if I say tight end, you automatically went there without any prodding.
Don't ever say tight end and prodding in the same sentence ever again.
There, you see, I gave you the setup and you walked right into it. Thank you very much.
Don't even say that when you're referring to them. Anyway. Omega, if you were a musical instrument, what musical instrument would you be and why?
Trumpet in the ladies' band so all the girls could blow them.
Jeez.
Tim is quick-witted tonight.
Wow!
Someone has this coffee.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, why did that make me laugh so much?
As long as you weren't taking a drink at the time, it's okay.
That's a scary thing. I was.
So I'm next.
As we bought you time.
Any instrument?
Has to be musical, yes.
Guitar.
Why?
80s cheese, it's awesome, and nobody understands it.
Huh. I hate asking this next question, but I'm going to do it anyhow because I couldn't think of anything else. Tim, what handyman's tool best represents you and why?
What the fuck? D-A-F-U-Q. The fuck? What handyman's tool best represents me?
Mm-hmm.
The power saw.
What was that, Mace?
Tim would be a nail, because he's always getting hammered.
Hey, that's a good one, but that only counts on Saturdays and Sundays. Power saw, because I cut through the bullshit and get right to the point.
Were you so you Wait. Think you do?
For the iron, waiting for the iron.
Mace, the Simpsons return tonight. Cast them as WTR.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Oh fuck, I know he's gonna call me Mr. Burns already.
No, Grandpa Simpson.
Oh.
That's worse. Definitely worse.
You would need money to be Mr. Burns, Tim.
Exactly.
Fuck you! Well, according to The Simpsons, Mr. Burns is about 500 times older than Grandpa Simpson, so... But still, fuck you.
Trying to think. Actually, I'm at a loss.
Shocking.
Well, it's mainly because if you're just going to Simpsons family, we don't actually have enough people to cover.
You could do any Simpsons character.
Oh, okay. You gotta give Smithers Allen.
No.
Damn.
No, Allen's gonna be Mole Man. Because nobody's gave him Mole Man. Tim would be Grandpa Simpson.
Prick, fuck you.
I'd cast Omega as a squeaky voice teen.
What?
Yep. Yep, that worked. He just proved it.
Ha ha!
Wait, that one?
No.
Oh, the other one. No. That was the kid laughing at everybody.
Yeah, that was no, Nelson.
That's Nelson.
But, where are you
The squeaky voice teen. He's always the one that's like working the counter at the fast food stores.
A complete disappointment, thank you.
I was not going to give you the honor of comic book guy.
No. Definitely not comic book guy.
Because that would have just ended up being me and you fighting over that.
And just to settle it, and it just totally does not fit, but it keeps the two of you from fighting, Spug, comic book guy.
No, Spug would be Bart.
Yeah.
Let's see. Just trying to think. For some reason, I put Rock as McBain. I don't know why. only because there's no football obsessed characters on the show unless they're guest stars. Lindsay would be Booberella. As for myself.
I like that.
What?
Jesus Christ, you guys have me as a raging alcoholic, for Christ's sake.
I didn't say Barney.
No, but you could have.
As for myself, yeah. I'd probably end up being Lenny. Like, background character who gets a few lines every now and again.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the ones you wrote out there for everyone.
Yes, we do have a link in the chat room for Squeaky Voice Teen.
Okay,
I posted in the chat so Omega can work it out.
So.
This is his character name, that's pathetic.
I guess that leaves us with Omega now. So, Omega. We saw that you put out a eulogy for your chair on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
At me and Lindsay were talking. She told me you got a throne.
It's always a bad start.
So, instead of show prepping, on Wednesday night, we thought of this question for you. We both did.
It's good to know.
If you could create your own tiara for your throne, to wear on your throne, what would it look like and why?
Tiara?
Yes, a tiara.
You couldn't slip that past him. I don't know why you tried.
It would be goddamn She-Ra's, because it'd be funny as hell.
No, you have to create your own. Not take someone else's, make your own.
He'd make his own to look like She-Ra's, because it'd be funny as hell.
Very well know it'd be encrusted with little gems to look like Transformer logos.
Big surprise.
I'm surprised you didn't make it out of Transformers.
See, what it should have been, what it should be, is my own damn logo. Well,
yeah.
I was going to buy a crown, but do you know how expensive fucking crowns are these days?
We knew it. That's why TR is so less expensive.
It's for the egotistical. On a budget.
Exactly.
You see, I am rubbing off on you guys. Go for the cheaper one. Save money.
See, that's why Tim's a good Jew.
Fuck off, asshole. I'll kick you.
So that's your Terror Omega?
Yep.
Okay. That would be quick hit, then.
All right, now, officially, that's another edition of WTR Sunday Night, Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thank you for coming. Thanks for getting involved in the chat room. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Edge. Once again, if you missed all or portions of it, it'll be archived probably first thing tomorrow morning.
Yes,
depending on where
King,
you live.
Depending on
yeah,
whenever
absolutely.
King sends in the recap.
Yep.
And, this is...
coming to Tyler's and TR's Omega to earn his TR.
No.
You can blame Kane Kittens for that one. Now you know how it feels every week, or at least once. Everybody, tomorrow night after Raw, come on back to WTR Wild Talk Radio. Get involved with the Raw post show. And that's immediately following Raw. Well, okay, anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes after Raw is over with. Is that not correct, Rock?
11:30 p.m. Eastern, depending on the whatever Raw over on end. So, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so there you go. 11:30 Eastern, 9:30 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Join Rock and Lindsay and Mace as they talk about what happened on Raw. And that's about all I've got to say about that. Tuesday nights, Alan Wojcik and KBA Wrestling Radio. He interviews people. Not as good as we do, but he still does.
He's going to try to do a great interview with the one, the only, Kevin Nash.
Big Daddy Cool. Diesel is on Tuesday night.
That's what I'm being told.
There you go. Unless he blows the other quad. Kevin Nash, right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Wednesday, just another goddamn wrestling show with the Cheap Wood paneling.
8:30 p.m. Eastern, BS2 2012 is the hashtag. Get it trending worldwide.
There you go, yeah. Thursday night, it's The Rack. Actually, it's Lindsay's Rack.
Yes, we cover...
No, wait, Lindsay hosts The Rack.
Yeah,
there
Lindsay
it is.
Hosts The Rack, 11 p.m. Eastern, covering Impact Wrestling and whatever else we decide to talk about.
Yeah, it's not just Impact Wrestling, it's not just TNA, it's TNA, WWE.
Football!
And football.
We did talk football on Thursday.
And football. Yeah, and so Friday night, normally this is where I tell you shit doesn't happen, but this Friday night shit happens.
Wait, shit happens on a Friday night around here? Get out
shit
of town.
Happens. Yes. It's the re-debut of independent wrestler Johnny Cashmere doing not a wrestling show.
So what is he doing, Tim?
It's a total wipeout thing that he's got going on. It's... It's going to be way out there. This is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be involved with this one as well. I'll sort of play his Ed McMahon to his Johnny Carson. Oh my God, there's a reference half you people won't get. Anyway,
what's an Ed McMahon?
Yeah, what's a Johnny Carson? He's going to be yapping about haunted houses, ghost stories. Believe it or not, the TV series Ancient Aliens. I don't know if you've ever heard of Coast to Coast Overnight.
Continue to plug, Tim.
Anyway, Coast to Coast Overnight. It's a radio show that talks to people, and it gets really out there. I mean, people talk about, they've seen UFOs, they've been abducted by aliens. It's going to be really, totally different. We're going to be talking about things like this. We'll relate our own ghost stories and stuff like that. But... We've got guests already booked. One of the guys from Ancient Aliens will actually be on the show. We're going to have a bunch of surprises coming your way. Do you know who Michael Cremo is?
Tell us, Tim. Hurry up and end the fucking show. I want to go play pandas.
What's the name of
the... Well, there's the reason for that question. Michael Cremo. If you don't know who he is, tune in Friday night to find out. And, yeah. So...
What's the name of the show, Tim?
You know, he's got some... he's got some title for it. I forget what it is. What is it?
Join Jack
Tune in Friday night, whatever the fucking show is. Okay, let's end the fucking show already.
Hold on, Mace. Tune in.
We've been playing this thing for the last 30 minutes.
Mace has pandemonium to begin.
Sweet
well,
Bibbidi.
Pandemonium isn't going anywhere.
Hold on. Lindsay says, Sweet Bibbidi, I ran to the bathroom and entered the snack machine, and Tim is still talking. Check out Johnny
Cash. There you go, yeah.
Check out Johnny Cashmere's Wake Up Call, Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. That's all the plug had to be.
I was just going to do that, but I got to draw this up because Mace wants to go play a game and I'm just holding him up. Okay, Saturday night, midnight-ish or as close as they can get to it, CB Radio.
Everyone was close to on time this week. How about that? And we had some fun. Great. Check it out. Countdown to 250 continues on. It's CB Radio. Weird, wacky, unusual. Live every Saturday night. Midnight-ish.
And, of course, next Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. Come on back next week. Have a good week, everybody. And don't forget to say happy birthday on Wednesday.
And check out our sponsors, TweakAudio.com and PWMania.com. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
There you go. Now, you don't have to get off my lawn, but bugger off.
So, if we wish you happy birthday this week, Tim, is that for your 80th?
For what?
For your 80th birthday?
No.
800. 800.
That's it. Get off my lawn!
Right. No, it's not. No, it's 801.
Shut up.
It's 801. There we go.
The song's ending. What?
What? Happy birthday, Tim Stein.
No.
Mr. 84.
Shut up.
Pandas.
WildTalkRadio.com